Well, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we've been saying for many, many months now, this COVID culture is taxing, complicated, but we still maintain our diligence to give thanks to God and to worship, to study, and to build community differently now, but still building community. And this Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday. It's a Sunday after all these 26 weeks of the season of Pentecost, the season of the Holy Spirit. And it's not that we do it now and the Holy Spirit leaves us, but we're going to begin to prepare for a whole new cycle of walking behind Jesus and his teaching through a whole new gospel in a whole new year, beginning in Advent. There's two things I would like to do today, and the first is talk about this kingdom that Jesus stories in Matthew's gospel. Talk about the reign of Christ, and Christ as the Logos of God, the Word of God, that we understand through Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, incarnated. This Jesus, the peasant from Galilee, I like his Armenian name, his Jewish name, Yeshua, that we translated into English, Jesus. But the second thing I'd like to do is talk about this week and talk about the issue of thanksgiving and the issue of being grateful and gratitude. What we talk about today is God's reign through Christ. And there are two points to get to it when we talk about the reign of Christ. One of the ways I do is I go to Jesus, the Jew, who was trained by the Torah, the book of instruction. And there are three words that I have loved throughout my whole career. Three words that I understand Jesus to have received in his growing up and maturing of his faith. The one is Malkuth Shemayim. Doesn't it sound like a powerful word? A powerful word. And it is, because what it means is God's ubiquity in human beings and in God's planet, the earth and the universe. Malkuth Shemayim is God's ubiquity, God's presence. And everyone, Jew and Christian, understand that to be everywhere, including me, little tiny me, in God's Malkuth Shemayim. And Jesus loved to understand and wanted to yearn for that God and God's reign. The second comes with that phrase, which is a phrase we get in the Ezekiel text and all throughout the Gospels, the phrase of justice. And for Jesus in his Hebrew, that justice means mishpat. But when you look at justice, you and I look at justice by going to court and having justice handed down to me if I do a traffic accident or I do something worse. But justice in the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible is what it means to restore, enrich, fair, and equitable relationships. Restore, enrich, fair, and equitable relationships. Lord knows after this 4 years of negotiating the chemistry of our country, we've watched our country become not mishpat, but the opposite. Seeking not to restore relationships, justice. Then the third, it's so beautiful. The third is tzaddika, which means behavior, me, my behavior, that fulfills a responsible relationship. Me and my wife, my family, my children, my ancestry, my community, my church, my work, my relationship with the land, my relationship with earth. Tzedakah. Jesus walked his life with those three words, filling his soul and spirit. And at age 30, about, he had a career change. He went from a peasant in Galilee into the desert, was called out by God, interrupted by God, and said, "Oh, you are my son." And Jesus went into the wilderness to be trained by the wild wilderness, what it means to be this emblem of God, this prophet. So Jesus announced, he lived, he inaugurated for history a new gospel, good news. And you and I don't have this culture where we understand the initiating power of that gospel that Matthew, Mark, Luke talk about. When you said, "I've come to proclaim good news, the good news of God, the good news of Christ," you were immediately threatened by the one who thought he was good news, Caesar. And he, in all of his publications, Caesar claimed to be the gospel, the good news. And Jesus comes and says, "No, folks, we're about the good news of God." So as soon as you said that, your life was in danger. And if you could ever get to that point in our American society to find out how that worked, to alter yourself from one way of operating to the operating of God, we can listen and incline our ear better to God's kingdom. We say it every week, every day probably. "Abba, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Your name is so sacred, I can't even pronounce it. So I'm going to call you Daddy. Abba, Father. And he says, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Now, when I was growing up, we said that phrase and there was a bunch of commas. "Thy kingdom come, comma, on earth, comma, as it is in heaven." But it's one phrase, no comma. God is in heaven and on earth present now. "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Because heaven is the place of God. And if you're believing Malkuth Shemayim, well, heaven is here. It's not some otherworldly thing. It's where God is alive and present. That's Jesus. And he's accomplishing a reign of God that is different than what Caesar expects. Jesus' reign is personal. It's in my soul. But it's also planetary. Jesus, the reign of Christ, is the earth itself. So Matthew 25, the gospel read for this moment ago, is a strange picture of this kingdom. But for me to get a handle on this, I understand what Jesus is after with one simple, powerful phrase: the least of these. If you do it, you do it for the least of these. The kingdom reigns for the least of these. And that could be me, or you, or anybody along our streets in our neighborhood. It could be our earth. For the least of these. You know there's something at stake, because if you don't care for the least of these, well, hell becomes foreseeable. We might do big damage. But heaven becomes personal. And often very now, when you hand a cup of cold water to a thirsty, gentle child, there's a touch of heaven. Those little ones, if you do it for the least of these, the Greek word is mikros. It's the same phrase Jesus used when he says, blessed are the children, for them is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is the mikros. Blessed is me if when I become a little one, if I'm having trouble, if I'm suffering, if I'm struggling with whatever might come along my name. And now, the fear of COVID, we don't know. We know people who have suffered and some people who have died. And they become little ones too. So the God's reign through this Christ is a reign that gives us a picture of mikros, the little ones. One of the problems with Jesus' reign is that it wasn't like the reign people expected. We live in the richest nation on the earth. We have the largest budget of military on earth, ever in history of human beings. When we think of kingdom, we think of order, stability, government, domination, control, maybe even vengeance. But that's not the kingdom that our gospel proclaims. Our kingdom, the gospel proclaims, is with the mikros, wherever necessary. And I do know that mikros does mean even the little ones that don't have two leggeds, like me. I spent the weekend, and we've been talking earlier about this COVID culture, how amazing we get to Zoom. Think of all the gas money we're saving and diesel. I've been to so many meetings, and every week I've got two to three hour Zooms. I'm part of a couple of different communities because I decided not to sit back in the COVID culture and whine, but be safe and active. So I joined this over weekend of Northern Plains Resource Council, 20-plus year tradition of working in Montana for the care of the earth and advocating for farmers and ranchers. But I listened to one of the Zooms during their annual meeting. We talked about land. Land is becoming a mikros in Montana. We lose 31 million dumpster full of topsoil from Montana every year. 31 million dumpster fulls of topsoil. And so they're saying, how do you rebuild this topsoil? We send the topsoil to three oceans, you know, because that's where we live here. The Pacific, the Atlantic, or the Caribbean, and the Arctic. But know that. You know that mikros is our responsibility then to care for it differently. I learned that in Montana is heating up since 1950 faster than any state in the lower 48. And what does that mean? My rancher friend out in Sydney says, we don't get the yield of our wheat. And the yield we get has less protein in it because it needs not as much heat to get the protein into the wheat. It's still beautiful wheat. But you see what's happening. Even that becomes a mikros. I've also been developing with a group of about 12 or 20 people what's called the Poor People's Campaign. And we're trying to develop a Poor People's Campaign network in Montana. Now you go, okay, that's easy. But we were one of eight states that didn't have a campaign in the Poor People's Campaign. And if you are curious about it, go to poorpeoplescampaign.org and find out this amazing network of people who are caring for the little ones, the mikros. But in that process, I've learned that in Montana, 39% of us are in poverty. 39% of Montanans are in poverty or one check away from it. And we all know what that means, you know. 410,000 people. You go through this awareness and you're willing to look at the trouble that Jesus is willing to look at, finding the way to build the kingdom of God through this care and love of the Mikros. And use your imagination wherever they are. They could be right on the corner by this afternoon, or in my own home, or in me, or in the world. So, you see how I love this idea of the kingdom, and how my imagination comes through Jesus, of what I believe he lived, and how I believe he lived. And the only way to deal with this is with the powerful word love. The most powerful word in the English language. So enough of that now, because I want to use love to talk just briefly about Thanksgiving. Because being thankful is a way in which we can learn how to be part of the kingdom. And I don't mean just say thank you now, which is the way I was trained. Now you say thank you, and I go, thank you. But to be thankful is to practice gratitude, a very beautiful form of love. And it comes in many ways. A friend of mine who was a lesbian, a homosexual woman, older, but when she was growing up, her father hated homosexuality. And she was so scared and so afraid, she backed off and just kept quiet for decades. Until the father realized that when she had to confront him, his love changed his understanding of homosexuality. She turned out to be part of her later living grateful for love. Love changed her dad's behavior. The other idea of love comes from many times, and especially in when you care for people in the community and you're doing some pastoral care or lay care. Visited one elderly woman not too long ago, and she was really frail, very frail. It was way pre-COVID. And I noticed when she talked that I couldn't see any teeth. So I asked her, what her nutrition is like. What, you know, are you using a straw and supping? I said, well, Pastor, I see that you see I don't have any teeth. I have actually two teeth. And I am so grateful that they meet. I can eat. Then a child's story about being grateful. The Danion Trail, most of us know, up on the mountain. I used to bring my kids up there maybe 25 or 30 years ago to go huckleberry picking. And so when they're there and the little 2 or 3 or 4 or 5-year-olds are tired, Daddy, let's get out of here. I'm going to go home. We don't have any huckleberries. I'd say, oh, well, you're not doing it properly. You have to thank the huckleberry before you find it. And if you thank the huckleberry before you find it, huckleberries will show up everywhere. Thankfulness is contagious. So here you just say, thank you, Huck. Thank you, Huck. Thank you, Huck. And all of a sudden, they started calming down, and they started finding huckleberries. Now, we never made enough to make something to eat, some jelly. But it changed their countenance. They were full of thanksgiving. And it changed the way they approached their challenges. So that's my word for today. Every healing, all mishpat al sadikah, begins with gratitude. And the rest is our imagination of how we're going to live in this God's reign. Even hate can learn to love. Amen.